couple of announcements as we begin then today. Very short list of announcements today. A reminder that after church today, there is a meal being served after church. Also then, that there will be an afternoon service back here in the sanctuary where Pastor Jeff will be presenting on Alaska. And then from there, there's ice cream immediately following that service. So you'll get your ice cream after the afternoon service. Other announcements today then, the offerings for both services are going to be divided between home and world missions. And the last announcement that I have is that on Thursday, September 21st, there is fellowship and sewing beginning at 1. And so anyone who is interested in that, come to the church around 1 for that. Are there any other announcements that I'm missing today? If not, then we open the service today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, we come into your house today asking for you to give us mercy and grace. And we ask that your word would continue to go forth and that it would continue to convict us of our sin and show us of your great mercy. Thank you for your word and for the chance we have to come and celebrate it together. In your name we pray, amen. All right, our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 103, verses 1 through 12. We will read it together, or we will read it responsively together.
So Psalm 103, verses 1 through 12 begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases,
who redeems your life from the pit, who grounds you with steadfast love and
satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
together before the Lord and confess our sins to him with full knowledge of his goodness and mercy toward us. Therefore, let us now bow together before the Lord and confess our sins.
Almighty God,
the Old Testament lesson this morning is Genesis 50, 15 through 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for I am in the place of God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. The epistle this morning is Romans 14, 1 through 12. "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in the honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in the honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." Here's the readings.
And our gospel lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, the master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found another of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay all the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Here ends the reading of God's word. And at this time, then, we have the opportunity to confess with the church of all times and in all places our holy Christian faith. This morning we use the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, our only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I will invite you to be seated. At this time now, we will sing, "Here I Am, Lord," while our ushers come forward to receive our morning offering.
Thank you. time, I would invite you to bow with me as we pray to the Lord for those who are in need today. Heavenly Father, we come before you today asking that you would be merciful and gracious to us. We come before you praising you for the great word of God that you have provided to us, that we might come and worship you, and that we might learn of you and of your salvation through that word. Lord, today we ask that you would be with all those who are called to proclaim that word both here and abroad. We ask that you would be giving them strength and wisdom, guidance and confidence, that they would be able to confidently proclaim your word for the salvation of all those who are suffering under the pain and sorrow of sin. Lord, we ask that you would be with those who are hurting and those who are in need. We think today especially of our shut-ins, Juanita, Diane, Joanne, and Delbert. We think of those who are in healing, who are in need of healing today, including Gordon, Linda, Tim, Norm, DJ, Danielle, Robert, Casey, Michael, Ty, Dwayne, and Kylie. Lord, we think of those children of our congregation, and we pray to you for their energy and enthusiasm to hear your word. We think of today of Willa, Charlie, Claire, Eloise, Gwen, Rowan, Lane, Waylon, Kennedy, Elena, Madeline, and Joanna. Lord, we think of those who are on our church council today, including Tracy, Dane, Craig, Corey, and Stuart, asking that you would be providing them guidance and wisdom. Lord, we thank you for our speaker today, for Pastor Jeff Swanson, and for his faithful years of service in Alaska. And we ask that you would be continuing to let him minister to others through your word as he is stateside being the director of AFLC Alaska Missions now. And we ask that you would be continuing to bless his ministry and that you would be blessing the message today that is brought forward by him. Lord, we pray for our nation and all nations today, for our government and all governments, and for all those world leaders and those who are in authority, asking that the entire world would have the opportunity to receive your word, to come to the knowledge and faith of you. Lord, for those who are in the military and their families, we ask that you would continue to provide them comfort and peace today. Lord, bless your word and bless the word that comes forth today. We ask that you would be giving your strength and mercy. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Our song before the sermon today is "There Is a Redeemer," and I would invite you to sing along with me today, and afterwards Pastor Jeff Swanson will come forward to deliver on that.
Thank you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here at St. John's once again. It wasn't so long ago that I was here and shared a little bit about Alaska, but glad to be invited back to be a part of your mission festival and to talk about the missionary work of the AFLC, both world missions and home missions, and specifically about Alaska. It's always good to be here. For 15 years, before we spent 15 years in Alaska, I served 15 years at a little church about 2 hours north of here, Helmar Lutheran Church, up by Newark, just west of Joliet. And I was, for part of those years, the president of the Illinois District, so was here for installations and other events and so on. So have a little bit of a history here with your congregation. Very good to be here again today. Good to be here with Pastor Freck being here as well. My last couple of years in Alaska, we used to get a lot of phone calls from the home mission office, and I would hear Joe's voice on the other end of the line. He was the, what was your position, Joe? You were like the administrative assistant, I guess, of home missions, and so I spent a lot of time on the phone with Joe talking about all things Alaska and so on. So that was good, too. Good to be here. I'm so thankful for Joe being called here to this congregation for your sake and his sake, too. What a blessing that is to see him serving here. So very thankful for that. Sorry that my wife isn't able to be here with us this morning. We have a son that lives in Malta, Illinois, just barely west of DeKalb. And that son has four children who are our grandchildren. So my wife chose to be with her grandchildren rather than with you today. So go figure that out. But it's good to be with you and good to share about this theme of missions today. I'd ask you just to stand as we read a word. Just one, I'll read two verses, but from Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. This will be our theme for the message this morning. Matthew 4, 18 and 19. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for what it tells us of Jesus, our wonderful Savior, of his call to two fishermen. And I pray that we could understand the call that comes to us as well, to be involved in your worldwide mission of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we trust that your Holy Spirit will be among us this morning and will be our teacher and our guide. Bless these moments in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I think the last time I was here, I told this story, but I'm going to tell it again. Is that all right if I repeat myself? When I was growing up in Kansas, grew up on a farm there with my mom and dad and my three sisters. And one day my mom and dad had to be gone all afternoon. And when they left, my dad gave me some instructions to paint the pump house. Our pump house was where our well was. It was about a 6-foot square building at the base, and it was about 6 feet tall. And, of course, it was white and had a little blue rim around the top. You could take the whole roof off so you could get to the well and so on. And my dad told me to paint that while he was gone. So I went to the garage to look at the paint, and I found not only white paint, but I found some red paint, and I found some blue paint, and I hit upon a really great idea because it was made uprights, you know, tongue and groove boards, so they were just very neat boards, one right against the other. And so I painted one board white, and I painted the next board red, and then I painted the rim around the top blue. And it was pretty impressive, red, white, and blue, very patriotic, faced the road, so it was really, really visible, and I was pretty proud of myself for my creativity and what I had done. Mom and Dad drove in a couple hours later, just as I was finishing painting the pump house, and my dad got out of the car, and he just stood there and looked at the pump house. And I never forgot his words. He said, "What in the world are you doing?" As I stood there with a paintbrush in my hand. "What in the world are you doing?" And I've thought about that over the years and thought that, you know, my dad, that wasn't the first time or the last time that he said to me, "What in the world are you doing?" I won't go into some of those other stories. But a few years later, God began working on my heart. I grew up in a little Lutheran church out in the country there, but I didn't have a real awakened experience. I was baptized, confirmed, was part of the youth group, But there, I found myself in my high school years really not sure of where I stood with God. And there were a lot of other things that were far more important to me, mainly sports and so on, than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And but we had an evangelist that came to our church. In fact, we had a series of evangelists year after year, and God began to speak to my heart, and there was a real conviction about my sin and where I was going to spend eternity. And God stirred in my heart, and finally, when I was a freshman in college at Kansas State, I joined a Bible study with Campus Crusade for Christ, and I heard clearly the gospel as we were reading verses. We were just talking in Sunday school about the Romans Road, and it was the Romans Road, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that really convicted me. And I have to share with you that that first year of college, I also spent some time sowing my wild oats, as they say. And sometimes it would be one thing on Friday night and Saturday night, but then on Tuesday night at Bible study, it was a different thing in my life. And there was just some real conviction. There was a very clear two roads. Which way will you go with your life? And Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That was convicting me. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That convicted me. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And it was through studying those simple verses of Scripture that the truth of God's Word just came to bear on my heart. I realized I was a sinner, and I realized what a great Savior Jesus was. And I bowed my knee and placed my faith and trust in Christ, repented of my sins, and came to Him. And I have to say that coming to a point of real assurance of salvation and having a call to ministry was for me simultaneous. Because I was so excited that Jesus would forgive me and give me eternal life. And I was really excited about that. And I thought, why would I do anything else with the rest of my life but to tell people about Jesus? So God's call to salvation and call to ministry was really simultaneous. And it was at that time that I began reading the Bible in earnest. And one of the things that I noticed at the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Each gospel ends with a verse that calls us to the world, to make disciples of all the nations. You're familiar with the Great Commission of Matthew 28. Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all the things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There's a similar call to be involved in world missions at the end of Matthew, at the end of Mark, at the end of Luke, and at the end of John. We're going to read those this afternoon. So come back and you'll hear each of those verses. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the very next book after the four Gospels. At the very beginning, Jesus said, right before His ascension, He said, all power has been given to you in heaven and on earth. That's Matthew 28. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. So it's interesting. The last words of all the Gospels, the last word of Jesus before His ascension in the book of Acts, is a call to go into all the world. And so remember that on this Mission Festival Day, that that's the heart of Jesus, is that all the world and all the people of the world would be touched by the Word and the love of Jesus Christ. And we're called to be a part of that. Now, I share all that to say that, you know, in my mind, I'm remembering my dad saying, what in the world are you doing? And as a young Christian reading the Bible, it became clear to me that my heavenly Father, not my earthly Father, but my heavenly Father was also saying, what in the world are you doing? And I'd give us that as a theme for this mission festival. What in the world are we doing? I think God says to us, what in my world, the world that I created, the world that I sent my Son to die for, the sins of all the people of the world, what in my world are you doing? And so may that just be kind of a theme on our heart. And Jesus is speaking of that same thing here in our text, Matthew 4, 18 and 19, when He came to Peter and to Andrew and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Their lives were changed by that call of Jesus. And I just pray that our lives will be changed, even a little bit today, that we'll recognize that God is calling us to be a part of what He's doing in all the world. We mentioned this in Sunday school too. God has called us to be involved in many ways. Some people go. Some people give. Some people pray. Some people do all of those things. And God calls us to be involved in His worldwide ministry, praying, giving, and going. But He's always calling us, calling us to salvation, calling us to service, calling us to be involved in what He wants to do in this world. Well, I was excited when I was a new Christian about Jesus. I'd gone to Sunday school, and I even sung this song. Our theme verse here, Matthew 4:19, says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I heard the kids singing in Sunday school this morning, and boy, they sounded great. Sounded like about 200 kids in there. They were really belting it out. When I was in Sunday school, some of you kids, maybe you remember this song, "I will make you fishers of men, if you follow me, if you follow me," and so on. Well, that's what Jesus was saying. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so that's the word of Jesus to Peter and Andrew, and that's the word to us today as we think about missions and as we think about what in the world are we doing. Jesus is saying this, just to make it pointed and clear to all of us. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, what is that little phrase that Jesus spoke to Peter and Andrew? What is that saying to us today? I'd like to consider it in about three ways. It reveals to us some wonderful things about Jesus. The first one is this: Jesus is an inviting Savior. Jesus is an inviting Savior. Notice here, Matthew 4:19, "Follow me." Isn't it wonderful that our God is an inviting God? He's not a God who stands afar off and says, "You've made a mess of the world and you figure it out. You know, you made your bed, now you have to lie in it." No, He comes to us. He sent His Son to us to invite us to come to Him, to be saved, to be a part of His work. He is an inviting Savior. And I would just tell you today, it's a gracious invitation. Who are we that Almighty God would invite us to come to Him? To come to Him and be forgiven. To come to Him and know Him and grow in Him and serve Him. What a gracious invitation that Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, and I believe He says to us too, "Follow me." It's a gracious invitation. It's one of many invitations in the Bible. If you turn over a few chapters in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, this is a very familiar passage to us in God's Word. Jesus said there, "Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Maybe you need to hear that invitation from Jesus today. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Isn't that a beautiful invitation? When we're weary and heavy laden, burdened down maybe by our sins or by some of the struggles of life, Jesus graciously invites us, "Come unto me. Come unto me." He is an inviting Savior. I think also of how God invites us even in the Old Testament as well. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2, another beautiful invitation that God gives to us. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Delight yourself in abundance. Come, all you that are thirsty, hungry, come and you can buy and receive from the Lord without cost." It's a gracious, free invitation. And there are many other places in Scripture where we could note God inviting people to come. That's just a few of them. Isn't it wonderful that our Savior is an inviting Savior? And now we can go and invite people all around the world to come to Him. One of the joys of serving in Alaska those 15 years was to fly out into small villages where there was no church, where there was no pastor, where there was no regular ministry, and to share the gospel with people and invite people to come. A lot of great needs in the lives of people in rural Alaska. I'll share a little more about this afternoon, but the problems of the world are magnified in many of the small villages in Alaska. Alcohol and drugs and despair and suicide and immorality and brokenness rampant in small villages where unemployment is 90 and 95%. Days are in the wintertime are very, very short, and there's just lots and lots of darkness. And life is very, very sad and very difficult. But it's not just in the villages of Alaska, but it's around here and it's in the cities. It's everywhere, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful that our Savior is an inviting Savior, inviting people to come and experience new life and a relationship with God? I'm so thankful for God's gracious invitation. But I would say this too. Not only is our inviting Savior, does He offer us a gracious invitation, but it's a powerful invitation. When He says, follow Me. Because what's the majority of the world doing? Following the world. Following their flesh. Following the ways of the world. And all too often following our own flesh, our own desires, or following the world straight to destruction. And straight to personal hurt and agony. What a powerful invitation when Jesus says, follow Me. Be delivered from the ways of the world, the ways of your own flesh. It's a powerful thing when somebody's been following the way of the world and turns to follow Jesus. There was a young man from South Naknek, the village just across the river from where we lived those 15 years in Naknek. He had left the little village of South Naknek because he wanted to get out and experience the world. So he followed the world. He followed his fleshly desires, and he went to Anchorage, the big city of Alaska. And he ended up spending many, many years on the streets of Anchorage, addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, homeless, hurting, self-destructive ways in his life. And he finally came back to South Naknek. And I won't tell you the whole long story, but ended up at a birthday party there, a 90th birthday party, and met this guy. His name was Ted. And I met Ted at that birthday party, and Brian Davidson, who used to be pastor here. He was working at our radio station up there at that time. Brian had a habit of making jackets, you know, and I always got a kick out of that. He made this purple jacket because the colors of Naknek are purple and gold. So he had this really, I'll be honest, super ugly coat made that was purple with bright yellow print on the back that said KAKN Radio. He was there running our KAKN radio station. Well, Ted had come back. He'd gotten off the streets, come back to South Naknek. And here he is at his grandmother's birthday party, and he sees me and Brian Davidson there, and he sees Brian with that ugly coat on, and it says KAKN Radio, and he said, you guys, are you affiliated with that, or are you involved with that radio station? And Brian said, yeah, I'm managing it right now. And I said, yeah, it's part of our ministry. And he said, I've been listening to that, and I heard a guy named Greg Laurie preaching, and he said, I believe what he's preaching, and it's making a difference in my life. And just to make that long story short, Ted came to Christ, and he's a major part of our little church in South Naknek. But for years and years, he followed the world, and he followed his flesh. And then he came and heard God's word in our little church in South Naknek, and he was invited to come to Jesus and to be saved. And that gracious invitation of Jesus became a powerful invitation in Ted's life. Follow Me. It's a powerful thing when somebody quits following their flesh and following the world and begins to follow Jesus. When Jesus says, follow Me, it's not only a gracious invitation, but it's a powerful invitation. We have an inviting Savior. That's who our Savior is. I'm thankful for that. An inviting Savior. Not a Savior who stands afar off and says, boy, you've made a mess of things and I'm going to leave you to yourself. No, He invites us to come to Him. I read a book a number of years ago by Philip Yancey. Any of you familiar with Philip Yancey? He's written a lot of really good books. One of the books that he wrote is called What's So Amazing About Grace? What's So Amazing About Grace? Each chapter in that book is kind of a modern parable that goes along with one of the biblical parables in the Bible. And so he told in one of his chapters, you'll recognize the story, he tells in one of the chapters of What's So Amazing About Grace, woman who had lived on the streets, and she managed to get off the streets and get her life together and get a good job, and she was being very, very successful and very prosperous, and she met another really prosperous and a wealthy man in New York City, and they became engaged, and they're going to get married. And so they rented one of the primary or the prime places to have a reception in New York for their wedding. They're going to get married and then have this lavish reception in one of the finest reception halls in New York. And then her fiancé dumped her, called off the wedding. And so she went to the place where they had the reception set up, and they said, I'm sorry, you've already paid for it, and we can't give you your money back because we won't be able to rent it in time and so on. Anyway, she was left with a reception hall, no wedding, and a reception hall and a catered meal, the finest food you can imagine, already paid for. And so she decided, she started thinking about those people that she knew when she used to live on the street. And she went out into the streets and she invited some of her old friends and people she didn't even know and invited them to come to this reception. And so Philip Yancey says in the book, he said, so it was a very curious thing on a Saturday afternoon in New York City that people came walking down the streets, street people, pushing carts, wearing old tattered clothes, and they came into one of the finest reception halls in New York, and they came in and sat down at a table and ate some of the best catered food that anybody had to offer. He said, what a picture. All these people, undeserving in a sense, unlikely, and they were brought into that reception hall and had a wonderful feast and a wonderful banquet. And she said she had so much fun going out on the streets inviting people to come in. That's like God's invitation to us, isn't it? We're undeserving, we're unlikely, we're sinners, but Christ invites us to come. He is an inviting Savior, a gracious invitation, a powerful invitation. That's what I see when I read Matthew 4:19. He said to him, follow me. Christ is an inviting Savior. That's good news for the whole world, isn't it? It's good news for rural Alaska. It's good news for the streets of Chicago. It's good news for Milford or wherever you want to go, anywhere around the world, that Almighty God comes to an undeserving world, a world full of sinners, and invites them to come to be saved, to be forgiven, to have new life. Praise God today that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us, died for us, rose again for us, He is an inviting Savior. That's what missions is all about, isn't it? Going out into the world and inviting people to come to Christ and have new life in Christ. We can do it all over the world and in many ways. Share the good news of Jesus, an inviting Savior. But not only is Jesus an inviting Savior, He's also a life-changing Savior. Notice this simple verse, Matthew 4:19. He said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But I want to pause there with that little phrase in the middle. I will make you. Jesus changed the lives of Peter and Andrew, didn't He? One day they're just ordinary guys fishing, mending their nets, and then Jesus comes and says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But again, catch that little phrase, I will make you. Jesus made a difference in their lives, didn't He? They were completely changed. They changed occupations. They changed directions in life. I would be pretty sure that their lives, their behavior changed as well. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. He's not only an inviting Savior, but He is a life-changing Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. I find that to be one of the most exciting verses in all of the Bible. That people can be made new. Old things can pass away. All things can become new. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in many other lives. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is not only an inviting Savior, but He is a life-changing Savior as well. Think about the Apostle Paul, who was the hater of Christ, the persecutor of the church, the persecutor of Christians. He met Jesus on the Damascus Road, and later he would write in 1 Corinthians 15, I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, I'm the least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle, but I am what I am by the grace of God. His life was dramatically changed by Jesus. Peter and Andrew's lives were dramatically changed by Jesus. Jesus is an inviting Savior, and He's also a life-changing Savior. That's the good news that we have to proclaim. You can have new life, eternal life, changed life in Jesus Christ. He's an inviting Savior, and He is a life-changing Savior. I was reading recently about a man by the name Tommy Terrence. Have any of you heard of Tommy Terrence? Anybody know who that is? He grew up in Louisiana. He was greatly involved as a young boy and increasingly into young adulthood with the Ku Klux Klan. He hated African Americans. He hated Jews. He was filled with hate. And he acted upon his hate. In his late teens, he was caught trying to blow up the house of somebody that he hated. Got in a gunfight with the police, and he was wounded pretty severely. Ended up in prison. He was there for some time where he was even further, further radicalized by Ku Klux Klan and by racist thoughts and so on. And so what he finally was able to escape from jail. He escaped and he went right back to his old habits and was doing violent things and terrible things, and he got caught again. And he was sentenced to prison again. And in prison, Tommy Terrence began to read the Bible. And in reading God's Word, he recognized the invitation of Christ to have a new life. He came to trust in Christ, and he experienced a change in life. He was converted to Jesus Christ dramatically. He served a number of years in prison. And when he got out, he was a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. He had heard the words of Jesus, "Come, follow me, and I will make you." And God made Tommy Terrence into something that you just wouldn't believe. He ended up serving a racially diverse church in Washington, D.C. And then later he got involved with the C.S. Lewis Institute, where he's worked for the last 30 years. What an amazing change came about in Tommy Terrence's life. But the very best part of the story, and you can read about it in one of Chuck Colson's books, there was a time many years ago when Tommy Terrence was invited to a supper at Chuck Colson's house. And guess who else was at that meeting, at that house? Eldridge Cleaver, who was the head of the Black Panthers at one time and who had reportedly become a Christian. And Chuck Colson said one of the most amazing things he ever saw was when Tommy Terrence, the ex-Ku Klux Klan leader, shook hands with a brother in Christ, Eldridge Cleaver. That's the power of God, to change lives, to reconcile people. That's the message that we have to share with the world. It's exciting, isn't it? We have an inviting Savior, and we have a life-changing Savior. Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you. I will make you." God is in the work of making people brand new. That's the message we have to share with all of the world, that God is inviting you to come, and God can change your life. It's exciting, good news from Jesus. Third thing I just want to share this morning, we have an inviting Savior, we have a life-changing Savior, and we have a purpose-giving Savior. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Their purpose up to this point, Peter and Andrew, the ones that Jesus addressed this verse to, was to fish for fish. This is always a great story to share in Alaska because it's so much a part of the fishing industry. You'll hear more about this this afternoon. But Naknek, where we lived for 15 years, is right on the coast of the Bering Sea, right at the mouth of the Naknek River. Millions of salmon swim along the coast, swim into all the rivers all along that coast of Bristol Bay. And I know lots and lots of fishermen. Peter and Andrew were fishermen. But what a wonderful thing it is when someone changes from being a fisher of fish to a fisher of men. You can still be a fisher of fish even when you are a fisher of men. But there was a new purpose for Peter and Andrew. And our Savior is a purpose-giving Savior. One of the saddest things in all the world is people who are purposeless. People who are just going through the motions of life. Just living, making money, spending money, grabbing a little enjoyment along the way as much as we possibly can, but just kind of playing out the string of life without any real purpose. One of the great things that Jesus does in a person's life when they come to recognize Him as Savior, trust in Him, is He gives them a new purpose in life. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "He died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf." Can I say that verse again? He died for all. Jesus died for all. He died for you. He died for me. He died for everybody in all the world. He died for all, that we who live should no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died and rose again on our behalf. Jesus gives a purpose to life. We live to glorify God. We live to glorify Him by sharing His truth, sharing His love with people. In the AFLC, we have a ministry in Brazil. My son-in-law is teaching in the seminary down there in Brazil. Pray for them, by the way. The roof just blew off of their house. And so they've had some challenges. My John Lee, you've probably heard of John and Hannah Lee. Hannah is our daughter. And John and Hannah, I diverse here, but John and Hannah came to work in Alaska because John's mom and dad run our radio station. We were there as missionaries. Hannah was there. They came to work for the summer. They met, and they got married. Then they went to seminary. Now they're down in Brazil. John is teaching at the seminary, and they have 6 children. The oldest one is 7. So pray for John and Hannah. They have their hands full. My wife desperately wants to go see. We've got a little grandson named after me, actually, a little Jeffrey, who we haven't even met yet. He's down there. But in Brazil, the ministry is training pastors, training teachers. Right next to the seminary, there's an orphanage where children are brought in off the streets. They're being loved in Jesus' name. They're being clothed. They're being cared for. Pastors are being sent out into churches. We have ministries elsewhere in the United States. The ministry is ongoing in Brazil. There is a high calling to share the love of Christ in word and deed in the world. That's our purpose. Jesus was giving a new purpose to Peter and Andrew. And maybe we need to be refreshed in that today here on this Mission Sunday. God has a purpose for us. And it's not just to accumulate as much in this life as we can, or to have as much fun in this life as we can. There are people right all around us that we need to pray for, and we need to love in Jesus' name. We can give to support works like in Brazil or in Alaska and in other places, in Africa as well, and so on. God has a high calling for us. He has a purpose for us, and that purpose is to live for Him, to glorify Him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I just wrote this down, 1979. Interesting being down here, driving down here, I was thinking about this. 1979, my wife and I, we were in college in Kansas, but we spent Christmas in Champaign, Urbana. That's not far from here, right? You've heard of the Urbana Missions Conference? We were there between Christmas and New Year's of 1979 and got to hear many speakers. It's a missions conference for college students. There were 18,000 college students there. Thousands of them are on the mission field and in various places today. One of the most exciting events I've ever been to. And the thing that was most exciting was you could just sense among 18,000 students that they were catching a vision for what God wants to do all around the world. What is God's purpose for us? I pray that we'd catch that vision today too, that we would catch a vision of the purpose that God has for us. Right where we are, praying for souls, seeking to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, supporting missions, going on a short-term mission trip. God has a high calling for our lives. He wants us to have a very definite purpose in life. Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." He's an inviting Savior. Follow me. He's a life-changing Savior. I will make you. And He's a purpose-giving Savior. I will make you fishers of men. God gave them a purpose in life. I pray that we recognize Jesus today in that way. He's an inviting Savior, and we are overjoyed today. We're worshiping today because we have a Savior who unworthily and unlikely has invited us to come and be His children and be forgiven. And He's inviting all the world, and we can be a part of that. He's a life-changing Savior. I pray you've experienced that. That you're experiencing that daily through daily repentance and turning to Christ. And I pray that we recognize Jesus as a purpose-giving Savior. We have a high calling to live for Jesus and to serve Jesus, to make Jesus known to the world in many, many ways. There's many opportunities, praying, giving, and going. What a Savior. There's a hymn in our hymnal, isn't it? Hallelujah, what a Savior. What a Savior is Jesus Christ. What a calling He has for us. So on this Mission Sunday, may we rethink that in our own hearts. Take time to rejoice in Jesus and take to heart the call of Jesus, the invitation of Jesus, and how He can change our lives and give us a purpose. And may we then seek out that purpose and live out that purpose to the glory of God and to the good of souls all around the world. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this life-changing interaction between Jesus and Peter and Andrew. And I pray that as we see Jesus as a inviting, life-changing, purpose-giving Savior, that there would be an impact upon our lives as well. And on this Mission Sunday, that we would be stirred in our hearts and what it means and what a blessing it is to follow Jesus, to surrender our life to Jesus and have a very clear purpose beyond just the everyday parts of life. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word and that you would have your way in our hearts and our lives on this Mission Sunday. Bless it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be talking more about Alaska this afternoon and about some of the other parts of AFLC missions, so hope you'll be able to come back and be a part of that and catch a little vision of that work as well. I think we're going to sing a worship song, Mighty to Save.
Compassion, a love that's ever-bringing. Let me
bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing song today is
In Christ Alone.
Would you remain standing for our closing song?
My light, my strength, my song is Be forever.